We are so excited. We spent the day with Jeremy and Jocelyn yesterday. We went to the car show in Fort Sisseton, and it was so wonderful. We met them just, like I said, I told you the story last week. It was just this crazy, just God-ordained thing, and I just love how, you know, you're from Cleveland. We don't know you at all except for a random act of Jesus last year, and it just felt like we were with old friends all day, and just love being with them, love their heart, love miracle stories, and just love what the Lord has placed upon their life to minister to the body of Christ, and we get to be a recipient of that today. Amen? Welcome, Jeremy. Jeremy Gall. I don't know if you're...
Yeah, sure. Amen. Well, turn to somebody and say, I'm leaving different. Amen. Say, I'm leaving better. I used to only say I'm leaving different, and then somebody's, you know, it's not any good if you leave worse, so we added better. Amen. Not just different, but better. I'm Jeremy Gall from Cleveland, Ohio, evangelist. So honored to be with you this morning. My wife, Jocelyn, you could wave at everybody. She hates when I put her on the spot. 26 years we've been married. 26 this year. 20 years in ministry. We got two kids who are both in Bible school, training for ministry. My son and my daughter. We have a son and a daughter. And my son he's in Bible school. I'm so excited. But we've been, like, 20 years we've been traveling. I think it's 28 states and 8 countries so far. I'm losing count, but thank God. God's faithful. Amen. Everywhere we've gone, we've seen Jesus is alive. How many of you believe he's alive today? Hallelujah. My faith isn't in me. It's in him this morning. Amen. And my job is I'm just his representative. He does all the heavy lifting. Amen. I just try to be a mouthpiece and be his hands and feet. That's all any of us could do. Amen. But I've found that he's faithful. I've found that he's the same. I've found that he's still a miracle worker. Amen. And I know for certain that he's here this morning in Sisseton, South Dakota. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say he's here if you believe it. Say he's here. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, with this, how we ended up here was just, I was ministering in Lexington, South Carolina. And a woman was there named Laura Long. Some of you guys remember when we came with the team, you know, a while back. She was here, Laura Long. And prayed for her in a service, and she was healed of ulcerated colitis. And she had all kinds of ulcers in her large and small intestines, and she had vertigo and, you know, from blood loss, and sometimes she'd just be in bed for days, and pain, everything that goes with it. And we laid hands on her, and she was instantly healed. Jesus healed her, amen, instantly. And she'd been suffering from it for a long time. And she told me the testimony after the service, and she's a native woman, and I said, I've always wanted to minister on a reservation. She said she's from out here, you know, and she set it up. That's how we ended up here. Amen. And so God has a way, doesn't he, of working things out. And I don't believe it's a mistake that I'm here this morning. I don't believe it's a mistake that you're here this morning. Amen. And I definitely know it's not a mistake that Jesus is here this morning. And it's so true. I had such a good time with your pastors yesterday. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know, some connections are easier than others. This is an easy one. Amen. You know, God brings all kinds of people together, but it's real fun when it's somebody that you just get along with and have a good time. Amen. That's right. But one more time, turn to somebody and say, I'm leaving different. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles or whatever device serves as your Bible, turn pages, press buttons, unroll your papyrus scroll, do whatever gets you to Hebrews 13 and verse 8. This is a guiding light scripture for this ministry, Hebrews 13, 8. And it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Everybody say today. Today. Is there anybody here this morning that believes Jesus is the same today? Amen. And I love that scripture because whatever day you open up the Bible, it's today. Amen. It's today. 100 years ago, it was today. If Jesus tarries 100 years from now, it'll still be today, and he'll still be the same. Amen. And my confidence is in that. If Jesus is the same, if he hasn't changed, then we can look at how he interacted with people in the Gospels And there's two truths. If he's the same today, and the King James Bible says he's no respecter of persons. How many ever heard that before? No respecter of persons is just he doesn't have any favorites. Amen. So if he's the same and he doesn't have favorites, that means we can expect him to treat us the way that he treated people in the Bible. Isn't that right? So I spend a lot of my time studying and preaching on the miracle stories of Jesus, because if that's what Jesus did for them, bless God, that's what he'll do for us. Amen. So how many of you know the story of the woman with the issue of blood? Have heard it before? Raise your hand if you had. We're going to talk about that one this morning. One of my favorites, but I say that every time I talk about a story. This is one of my favorites. You know, they're all my favorites. But I really like the woman with the issue of blood for a couple reasons. One, Jesus didn't pick her like specifically out of a crowd or come knock on her door, or he didn't even know it was her when she touched the hem of his garment and received her miracle. And that's encouraging to me. Because some miracles just fall on you. Sometimes God does something for you. You weren't expecting it. You were hardly praying for it. And it just kind of finds you. But I know there's other times where you need it and it hasn't found you yet. Have you ever been there? And then we could look at the woman with the issue of blood, because that was her. Jesus didn't pick her. She didn't say, you know, come and find her where she was. She dragged herself out into the street and went to where Jesus was, and the power of God met her. Amen. If that's a story that could encourage anyone. She wasn't better off than any one of us here this morning. Amen. So this story is in all three synoptic gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And first Jairus comes to Jesus and he says, my daughter's at home at the point of death. Jesus says he'll come, and they're on their way to Jairus's house. And on the way, the woman with the issue of blood touches the hem of his garment, and power flows out of Jesus and flows into her. And if you take the collection of the different versions, it tells this story. One thing that it tells us is that she heard about Jesus. Everybody say she heard about him. I love that. Just heard about him. How many of you heard about him? That's why you're here this morning. You just heard about him. That means she's a lot like you and me. Amen. She heard about him. She heard about him. Man, I wish that it would have been recorded in scripture what she heard, because it was phenomenal. I mean, whoever told her about Jesus inspired her to say, I'm coming out of this mess that I'm in. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment and I will be made whole. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so that's my first thought for this morning. You know, praying, I was thinking about the woman with the issue of blood. She heard about him. We got to remember what our message is to the world today. Amen. We got to remember it's still a you could be made whole message. Yeah. Are you with me? It's not just a, hey, you know, you ought to check out my church. There's a bunch of nice folks there, you know. Thank God we should be nice. But there's more to it than that. It's more than a just, you know, we were talking, Pastor and I were talking, and the famous atheist, Charles Dawkins, has recently said that he's a cultural Christian, which, you know, means he doesn't really believe in a God, but believes in kind of the moral fabric of Christianity, you know. But, you know, our message is more than a moral code. Whoever talked to the woman with the issue of blood didn't tell her, hey, you ought to go see Jesus. He's a real moral guy. You following me? He's a real moral guy. He really, you know, he's got a great moral. It's a, you know, great place. Hang around him. Great environment to raise your kids. Are you with me? All true. But somebody told her that she didn't have to be broken anymore. Somebody told her that you don't have to live like this. There's somebody who could do something about it. Your story today doesn't have to be your story tomorrow. I know somebody. There's nothing impossible for him. He's changing lives and he'll change your life too. Amen. And she received it. She said, yeah, this statement she makes, I love this story. She didn't say, man, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to see how this works out. Maybe he'll count me in on it. She said, I will be made whole. Everybody say, I will. Bless God. If she could say that, you and I can say that. Isn't that right? Why? She didn't have any more right to say that than we do. She didn't have any more right. What gave her the right to say that? Did Jesus come and tell her, daughter, this is my plan for you. This is my appointed time for you. He didn't say any of that. Somebody told her there is a Savior. And she said, I'm getting in on it. I've got good news for you this morning. There is a Savior. Everybody say there is a Savior. And you can get in on it too. Amen. So you know the story. She touches the hem of his garment. Bible says that power flows out of Jesus and flows into her. And he says this statement. He says, who touched me? Now, I love that one because the disciples' immediate answer to him is that, Jesus, there's this huge crowd of people. What do you mean, who touched me? You know, caught in the press, the Bible says. Like, you know, it reminds me, if you ever, you know, like I think about just caught at a sporting event or something. You ever been in a crowd where you feel like you could almost pick up your feet and keep moving, you know, like you're all moving along and you're pressed and you could just pick up your feet and you wouldn't stop. You could just keep gliding along with the crowd, you know, floating just in the press. So this is the kind of crowds Jesus is dealing with. And he says, who touched me? They said, what do you mean, who touched me? He said, no, somebody touched me because power went out of me. Now that means from Jesus' perspective, it could have, that power was for everybody in the crowd. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. That means it could have been anybody. That means if he was here and he passed through, you know, and he's walking down the aisle and somebody here reaches out and touches him, Jesus turns around and he looks at the crowd and he says, who was it? Was it you? Was it you? Who was it? Could have been anybody. Because his power was for everybody in the crowd. Everybody say, it's for me. Praise God. And so our message to the world, yeah, we got a Savior, a living Savior that changes things in life. Amen. It's not just a different way of thinking. It's not just a good moral framework. But bless God, there's power that still flows from Jesus and changes lives. There's power that still flows from Jesus and heals bodies. There's power that still flows from Jesus and sets free from depression. Amen. Sets free from whatever binds you. There's power that still flows. Resurrection power, it's still flowing today. Our message is not our message, our Savior. It's not just a message of the glasses half full and not half empty and having a positive outlook and a good moral fabric to raise a family in. Hallelujah. Our message is that we have a dead raising, blind eye opening, deaf ear opening, hallelujah, Savior that is exactly the same today that he's always been. Amen. Are you with me? And he's here today. And we've done a lot of work in Russia, traveled all over Russia, preached all across Siberia. And I have friends who go to, you know, like the South Pacific and Fuji, you know, and like, and our Fiji, the islands and I'm not like, Lord, if I offended you in some way, I'm preaching in Siberia, you know. People go there. People, what's that? In the winter. In November, we were in Siberia. You want to hear a Siberia story? God is awesome, man. He's mighty. So we're going to Siberia, and my contact there, who I was working with for a lot of years from Moscow, he said, listen, they're saying that it's going to be the coldest winter in 1,000 years in Siberia when you go. I'm like, 1,000 years? Who was even measuring weather 1,000 years ago, you know? He says, they're saying it's going to be the coldest weather in 1,000 years. He said, so don't even bring American clothes. He's like, just, you know, don't try to bring a coat and a hat. Buy it here. Your clothes won't be up for it, you know? I said, well, hallelujah, you know? And meanwhile, like I said, my friends go to the South Pacific Islands, you know. And I said, all right, praise God. Well, we said, we got to pray about this. This is going to hurt the meetings. You know, there's people that walk to services and stuff. I mean, I know they're tough. They're Siberians, but come on, man. I mean, they're like coldest winter in 1,000 years. People are going to stay home, you know. And so I said, we got to pray about this. We got to take authority. How many believe that we have power in prayer? Amen. How many believe there's authority in the name of Jesus? And so in our kitchen, Jocelyn and I do something we call washing and praying, you know. Like the Bible says, watch and pray, we wash and pray. We wash dishes and pray. And we started praying about the weather. And we got there, and it was like, you know, light jacket weather, like 50s, 60s, you know. And we set off on the campaign, and we're going through all across Siberia, like 1,500 miles. And what some of our team members are talking, and they're saying, we've never seen it like this at this time of year. It's never this warm. They're like, we don't know what's going on. I said, we prayed. We said, we believe God. We don't want something to hold up the meeting, you know. And they said, would you pray we don't have winter this year? I said, that's a little bit outside of my scope of, you know, of faith. I'm not sure, man. But I'm telling you, we preached all the way across Siberia. We got in an airplane in, I think it was Skov or something. And as we're taxiing out on the runway, a snowstorm came in, a blizzard came in. We are taking off, man. And the snow started falling, and then they got their winter, you know. But how many know that we serve God? So we don't have a religion among religions message. Yeah. There you go. We don't have a philosophy among philosophies message. We have a living God, a living Savior, miracle worker message. We've got something to offer the world, praise God. Not just another way to be buried, another way to be married. It's not about the culture, it's about Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes I think we present it wrong. Are you with me? We got to remember who he is. We got to remember what we have to offer as believers. Amen. And he's the same today. So she heard about him. I don't know what you've heard about him, but maybe God will help me clear some things up, you know, this morning. She heard about him. She heard that not only like the sun would shine a little brighter, or the birds singing would be a little sweeter after she met Jesus. She heard she'd be made whole. Amen. She heard she'd be made whole. Somebody told her that Jesus could make her whole. Somebody told her he is not just a person walking around. He's not just a historical figure, but there's power. There's power to change your life, woman with the issue of blood. You don't have to live like this. There is a Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember I had a buddy when I was in high school. I was 17 years old, and he came to me. And we worked together bussing tables in a restaurant. And he said, I'm having these horrible dreams. I'm just tormented. And he was raised in a Catholic church. And he said, I think it's like demons are coming to me and tormenting me at night. I can't sleep and it's keeping me up. And I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what's going on. I was, 18, maybe 17 at the time. He was 17. And I said, but I know if you'll accept Jesus, that it has to stop. Amen. I said, if you'll just pray with me this prayer, you know, sinner's prayer, it's going to stop. And he said, all right, let's pray. And I shared, talked with him a little bit. And he said, let's pray. We started to pray. And he said, there's something right here that's keeping me from praying the prayer. As we started to pray the sinner's prayer and going through it, he said, there's something right here that's keeping me from praying the prayer. I said, there's nothing that can stop you from praying this right now. Just keep, just press on through. And he did. There was a breakthrough. I don't know how to describe it. It was a unique spiritual situation. When he said amen, in Jesus' name, amen, after we prayed the sinner's prayer in my car, it was like just this peace filled the car, you know. We both started weeping. And, we 17-year-old guys don't always just do that, just cry together in the car, you know. It definitely wasn't our normal, late night activity, amen, after work. Let's have a good cry together, you know. No, we're both bawling, and instantly, we didn't work up to it. We're crying, and he just said, it's over, it's over, it's over. How did he know that? I don't know. He said, it's over, it's over, it's over. Went home that night, slept in peace, on from there, never was tormented anymore. He became a Christian, amen. Hallelujah, we have a Savior. Not just a philosophy, we have a Savior. Our message to the world is the same as the message, is the same as the message was to the woman with the issue of blood. We can tell them they could be made whole, amen. We could tell them they don't have to live the way that they've been living. They don't have to be bound. They can be free. We've got a message. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. We've got something to offer. Something to offer that not every religion has to offer. No other religion has to offer. There's a Savior in our religion. Amen. There's a God that stands behind it. And it's not just a concept, but he loves people. And the other thing I see about her, like this love, like I said, this love he has for people. Whoever talked to this woman must have told her that what Jesus has was for everybody. Because why else would she have said, I will be made whole? Everybody say it again. Say, I will be made whole. How could she have said that? Somebody told her it was for her. Somebody told her that he doesn't leave anybody out. Everybody say it's for me. And then she went after him and she touched the hem of his garment. Is this Bible? Anybody know the story? Is this how it reads? Is that what she said? Did she say, I will be made whole? And then when she touched the hem of his garment, what happened? Power flowed into her. That same power is still flowing today. So we got to remember. We got to remember that we've got a message to the world that you can be made whole. This is the message to everybody here. And being made whole, thank God she was healed. That's a part of it. I believe there was a lot more to it than that. She had a lot more than just physical problems. If you know anything about a condition of blood, she had all kinds of issues going on. She couldn't be in crowds. And, you know, I don't have time to get into Levitical law this morning, but she was supposed to stay away from people and cry out, unclean, unclean. She had social problems. And she said, I'll be made whole. So we got to remember what our message is to the world. And we got to remember who the Savior is to us. Everybody say, I have a Savior. Because she didn't just know the message, she immediately saw that she could apply it to her life. That he wasn't just a Savior, but he was her Savior. Everybody say it again, say, I have a Savior. Say, I have a healer. Amen. She said, I will be made whole. She made it personal. She said, it's for me. Hallelujah, we could receive the message like that. Is this helping anybody this morning? She said, I'll be made whole. It's for me. Well, we're going to minister to people here in just a minute. Thank God Jesus is here. The power is here. Same power that was there 2,000 years ago that flowed into the woman with the issue of blood. Thank God it's still here today. Amen. And we got to apply it. We see that. There's so many situations in life that are like this in the kingdom of God. He set up a system by his sovereignty where man would co-labor with him and where man had a choice. Are you with me? So, you know, nobody's saved unless they want to be. Have you found that out? You know, nobody here has a testimony that you were just walking down the street and all of a sudden, bam, you know, wow, what was that? I'm saved. Didn't even want to be saved. Don't even like Christians, really. I guess God just decided to save me all of a sudden, you know. No, you had a part to play, didn't you? So it is with all the things of God, you know. The woman with the issue of blood, she touched the hem of his garment. You get so many stories. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? What do you want? And throughout the Bible, you see this partnership with God. You see that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our co-laborer. We work together with him, co-labor, amen? Yeah. I'll tell you a couple stories. So Jocelyn and I went to a funeral. This is about maybe 10 years ago. And young guy, 30-some years old, had a brain tumor. And he died. Man, how old was his youngest kid at the time?
Less than a year.
Less than a year old. 6-month-old baby. Early 30s, died of a brain tumor. Three other children, you know, just sad. We just got home from the funeral. And, you know, the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. And you know, that was definitely the work of the devil. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to steal the father from that family, to destroy those. How many are with me this morning? Yeah. And Jesus comes to give life and life more abundantly. So I was so angry, you know, and it's okay to be angry. It's okay to hate some things. The Bible says hate what is evil. Yeah. I was hating cancer that day, I'll tell you, you know. Hate sickness, hate what it does to families, hate what it does to bodies, hate what it does to people's dreams and God's plan for them. Are you following me?
Right.
And he said, I was angry. And Jesus got angry at things. There was a woman who has been over for 18 years with the spirit of infirmity. And Jesus said, ought not this daughter of Abraham be made whole? And she ought to be made whole. And so anyways, I got home and I was upset about this. And so this woman calls me and that we know, a friend of the family. And she was asking for prayer and she was in hysterics. She was crying and she had just been to the doctor. And they had scheduled her for a double mastectomy because she had, they found tumors in her breast. And she was obviously upset, you know, and reasonably so. And I was so angry. She was on the phone and I said, that's it. I said, we're just going to take authority over this and it's going to go now. Jocelyn was talking to her on the phone. How many believe we have authority in Jesus' name? And I said, we're just going to take authority over this right now on the phone. And I just started commanded in Jesus' name. And first she said, I feel like there's warmth there, you know, where the tumor was. And we said, well, praise God. We're just going to keep praying. We're just going to keep taking authority. Then she said, I feel like it's a little softer. I said, that's good. We went on and prayed like that for 45 minutes. And she said, it feels like it's a little smaller still. Now it feels like it's a little smaller. We kept on going until she said, I can't even feel it. It's not there. I said, praise God. Well, let's just rejoice. She had a doctor's appointment coming up in a couple days. We said, come tell us the report, you know. So she goes to the doctor. She calls me the day of the doctor's appointment and she's in hysterics again and she's crying. And I'm like, what's going on? And she said, the doctor told me that I wasn't taking this seriously, that the chart said this and the chart said that, and that on the charts, this is what it looks like. And this is, you know, I don't know if it was what it was, you know, what scans they were taking at that time and whatnot. But she said, the doctor said, I'm not taking this seriously. And she's crying. And it threw me for a loop for a second because I was like, well, what in the heck happened here then? She knows her body. She said it was gone, you know. And the doctor, and then she kept on saying charts, charts, and scan. And I said, wait, these charts, when did they take the tests? She said, well, 2 weeks ago. Her name's Donna. I said, Donna, we prayed for you 3 days ago. You know, this doctor didn't even re-examine her, right? So the story's going to go on. So I said, listen, you know, is it there? She said, no, it's not there. I said, well, then there's been some kind of mistake. So she goes back to her appointment for the mastectomy. She goes back to see a surgeon, a separate doctor. He gives her a pre-surgery examination and says, there's been some kind of mistake here. Come on now, amen. He said, I'm not doing this surgery. I'm sending you back for another batch of tests. We're not doing this surgery. She goes back. She gets another. She's cancer free. Hallelujah. There's no tumor there. Amen. Hallelujah. That sounds just like Jesus, doesn't it? That sounds like Jesus who healed the woman with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. He's the same today. Praise God, thinking about some of these things. Was ministering one time, I just heard this testimony on the way driving out here. Was ministering down in Augusta, Georgia. Woman there named Denise had been in a car accident several years before, had a big lump of scar tissue on her neck because she had, you know, like whiplash and neck got messed up. And she had for years, had a lump of scar tissue on her neck and it would hurt. And her, not scar tissue, but like some kind of muscle knot, I guess, you know, from just like things getting all twisted up. Her kids would like massage it and stuff. And, you know, we felt impressed to pray for people in this service and for necks. And she was just in her seat. And we're going to pray for people like that this morning. We just prayed for everybody in their seat. And I heard her yell out, ah, and it just disappeared, man, right in an instant. Yes. Amen. That big lump of scar tissue on her neck, right? Just disappeared. Well, on the way we're driving out here, we get a phone call from one of her good friends. And just what, a few days ago, she got a report. They did a scan and she had a large growth in her breast, similar situation. And they told her to come back the next day. Like she, you know, they found it and they counseled with her, said, come back the next day. She stayed up. This is just a few days ago. She stayed up all night praying. Now, listen, you don't have to stay up all night, but she did. She needed to. I guess she was battling fear and battling everything that comes with it. Have you ever been there? Stayed up all night praying. Felt she got a breakthrough with God. Went to the doctor the next day and the tumor was gone. Amen. Again, there's been some kind of mistake. This is just a few days ago. And so her friend called and said, thank God. She experienced it, you know, when that big growth disappeared on her neck, when that big lump of muscle tissue disappeared, whatever it was, disappeared on her neck. And she remembered that Jesus is the same. And if he did that, he could do this. Amen. David stood before Goliath and he said, you delivered me from the lion. You delivered me from the bear. You'll deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Has he ever been faithful to you before? Everybody say he'll do it again. Hallelujah. Anybody want to hear a few more stories and then we'll pray? Amen. Ministering up in Erie, Pennsylvania, a woman came. I heard some people talking about prodigals during the worship service. A woman came who hadn't been in church. Aren't you glad that Jesus heals people that don't have great church attendance records? Amen. She hadn't been in church for a long time, but her sister invited her to a service because she had just broken her arm. And her arm was so swollen that the doctors couldn't put a cast on it. You've heard stories like that before. They had to wait for the swelling to go down, and then they would put an ace bandage on it after the swelling went down, you know. So she's sitting there. I didn't see her. It was a pretty good crowd. She was holding her arm up above her head the whole service because if she let it fall, she'd feel that throbbing pain, you know. So she's trying to keep it elevated for the whole service. I didn't even know she was there. We just prayed for people in her seats, in their seats. And she had that arm wrapped in an ace bandage. The swelling just instantly went down. Amen. Just fell loose on her arm, you know. She could move it now. Hallelujah. The pain's gone. We got her on video. You can see it on YouTube. I got some business cards with the YouTube information on it. We'll put them out somewhere so you can look. She's sitting there holding the ace bandage. It's hanging loose on her arm. Goes to the doctor. Cancel the surgery. Hallelujah. Broken bone healed in a moment. Amen. Well, yeah, of course it was. Everybody say, of course it was. I mean, is he God or isn't he? Did he part the Red Sea? Amen. Did manna come from heaven? Do we believe this stuff? Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't we just act like the Bible's true? Why don't we just act like Jesus of the Bible is our Savior here in 2024? Amen. Hallelujah. You say, man, I haven't been acting that way. That's all right. You could change. You could start acting different today. You know, Martha's at the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus says, roll away the stone. She says, but don't you understand? He stinks. I mean, she's trying to be reasonable here. She's saying, like, it's been a long time. It's been 4 days. It's too late. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Amen. Yeah. And she changed. She went from talking the circumstances, talking problems, talking about how bad it was, talking about how impossible it was, and she started acting like a miracle person. She said, you know what? He's right. How many know Jesus is right? And she rolled away the stone, started acting like somebody who has the dead raised. I wonder what would happen if we started acting like our Savior still raises the dead. Come on now. I wonder what would happen if we started acting like he still was a healer. I wonder what would happen in my life. I wonder what would happen if in your life if we started acting like he's everything he says he is in the Gospels. How many believe things would be different? I'm ministering. A couple more stories. Is this helping you? Is this worth it? All right. Give you a couple more. I'm ministering again in Augusta, Georgia, different service. Pastor's daughter invites a 21-year-old wine sommelier from Charleston, South Carolina, named Vinny to come to the service. But really, they invited him into town to ride jet skis. And so he's an atheist. He gets invited into town to Augusta to ride jet skis for the weekend. He comes in late on a Saturday night. They all get up for church Sunday morning. They said, Vinny, come to church. He says, no, I don't go to church, you know. No, these people go to church, his friend told him. You're coming, you know. You're staying at their house. You're going to ride their jet skis. You're coming to church, you know. Drag him to church. Anybody here ever been dragged to church? Drag him, man. Almost kicking and screaming, you know. He comes Sunday morning. Somebody else was preaching, but they announced my service for Sunday night. A healing service. A miracle service. Vinny is beside himself. He's like, my God, these people really believe this stuff. You know, he's thinking, how many here really believe this stuff? Amen. I mean, is there anybody here that you're just crazy enough to actually believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Amen. And for Vinny, this was like, wait a second, this isn't just like a formal kind of get together. You know, these people believe in Jesus. So they drag him to Sunday morning service. He asked to come to Sunday night service. He says, no, like, you know, cancel your plans. I want to come to Sunday night service, you know. So he comes, we're praying for the sick and God's doing things. I remember there was a young woman, Baptist girl, raised, she had asthma and she couldn't run and she was running around the church and breathing and no problem, you know. And then another woman whose back was hurt and she's bending over and doing things she couldn't do before. That's what Jesus is like, amen. And Vinny's watching this and he says, in his mind, he says to himself, yeah, it seems like these people are sincere, but it's not enough to change what I believe. He's having this private conversation in his mind. I, of course, am not a part of it. It's not enough to change what I believe. And he says, but if God's really speaking to this guy, he would know I was here and he would know what was wrong with me. I do not recommend that kind of approach to the things of God. But that was Vinny's, you know. He said, if God's really speaking to this guy, he'd know I was here, he'd know what was wrong with me. At that moment, I said, wait, there's somebody here that, you know, you're having trouble, you can't hear. First thing I said was, wait, I forgot to minister to ears. And then I said, hold on, there's somebody here, you know, and you're clogged and you can't hear out of your right ear, I said. I said right ear like probably four times. Well, Vinny was deaf in his left ear, praise God. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know what happened. All I know is God is bigger than our mistakes. He's bigger than our human weaknesses and shortcomings. Because, I mean, he's not the guy with his fingers crossed saying, I'm hoping it's me. He's the guy saying, prove it if it's real, you know. And I messed up. I said, right ear, right ear, right ear. And Vinny's like, that's me, left ear, that's me. I'm deaf in my left ear. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he heard it different. I don't know if he didn't hear anything. But God got his attention. Amen. Well, Vinny was 21, like I said in the service. When he was 15 years old, he had a tumor removed from his left ear, and it left him deaf. They knew it would. And he was deaf in his left ear, totally numb around his ear, you know, couldn't feel it. And, you know, so I just didn't even have him come forward, just prayed for him right in his seats. Everybody, you know, I said, if you have ear troubles, pray for people in their seats. Nobody even stood up. Didn't know he was there, of course, didn't know anything about him, just commanded ears to hear in Jesus' name. Vinny described the story to us later. He was chewing gum, and he said, as I commanded in Jesus' name, he reached up and touched his ear. He said, it sounded like a radio was coming in. Everybody remember radios? Sounded like a radio was coming in, you know, a little bit of static, and then he could hear the boom. He could hear the state, you know, he could hear out of that ear for the first time since he was 15. He said he was chewing gum. He swallowed his gum. Amen. And then, you know, he doesn't say a word, man. I'm like, Vinny ought to be a professional poker player. I talked to him later, you know. He's just sitting there next to his friend that invited him to the service. His deaf ear was opened up and he doesn't say a word. Amen. He's just sitting there, but he's terrified, okay? So finally, I mean, I even meet him after the service. Somebody introduces him to me. I shake his hand. He doesn't say anything still. But then I go back to the pastor's office. He can't take it anymore. He finds Jocelyn and he tells her the story. Jocelyn comes and gets me. She says, you got to hear this. Tells me this, you know, what I just told you. I go out to see him then. And I'm like, Vinny, can I pray for you? I'm not, you know, not for healing, but just Lord, bring your plan to pass. He accepted Jesus that night too. He made Jesus his Lord and Savior, you know. And so I said, can I pray for you? He said, no, 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 no. And he holds out his hand. He's shaking like this. His hand's going like this. He goes, man, this is a lot for me. Yeah, he woke up that morning an atheist and went to bed with his deaf ear opened up that had been deaf since he was 15. That'll shake up your worldview a little bit. Amen. You could hear him tell his own story on YouTube too, man, Vinny. But that sounds like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Is this the group that we're a part of? Are you with me? Yes. Hallelujah. Is this what Jesus is like? Amen. Yes. Is he like the Bible says he is? Right. Does he do what the Bible says he does? Amen. Sometimes we got to adjust things, man, because this world, I'm telling you, this world will try to beat it out of you. Yeah. The devil will try to talk you out of it. Right. I mean, even Peter, he's out there walking on the water and the wind and the waves are trying to talk him out of it, saying, you can't do this. This isn't real. He's out there. Jesus is right in front of him, man. He's already walking on water. He's not hoping it will happen. And the wind and the waves are trying to tell him, no, I'm sorry, man. This isn't for you. We got to push back. Amen. We got to be like the women with the issue of blood. We got to make some I will statements. Praise God. I will not live like this. I've got a Savior. I will come out of this. Amen. Jesus is my healer. I will come out of this. I'm not going to be in bondage. Jesus has set me free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. We got to remember, praise God. Bible says there's a fight of faith. Isn't that right? There's a fight of faith. Thank God, but we can win it. Amen. Everybody say this. Say, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. So I'll say this, you know, fish swim, birds fly, believers believe. Hallelujah. People say, I don't have any kind of great faith. No, you're a believer. You're a new creature. That's what believers do. Believers believe. When a believer gets in fear, when a believer gets in doubt, when a believer, you know, starts listening to the arguments of the devil, that's when we're not acting like who we really are. When we believe, that's when we're acting like who God made us, man. The language of faith is our native tongue, praise God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, have I kept you too long? We're going to pray for people. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Jesus is alive. Amen. I just believe one more story and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Lord, which one? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Candy. Hallelujah, man. Whew. Ministering in Des Moines, Iowa. A little closer to here than South Carolina. So, ministering in Des Moines, Iowa, and a woman named Candy comes in. She had had a stroke 4 years before the 4 years before the service. And she couldn't even walk right. She shuffles. Her vision was messed up from the stroke. She was waiting to have surgery because there's so much nerve damage in her digestive system, 95% nerve damage in her body from the stroke, and et cetera, you know, short-term memory, you name it, all of it. She just couldn't drive, of course. Somebody guided her in that night. She saw an advertisement for the service on Facebook. It was a Sunday night service she came into. And, you know, just all kinds of things going on with that. Severe stroke. She's just about given up. She said people had prayed for her a bunch of times and she'd just about given up. But she said, you know, I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm going to go to this service. She comes in. We pray for her. She says, I feel like I could see a little better. And we said, well, praise God. If, you know, I mean, I'll tell you this right now. I've never prayed for anybody that was worse after we prayed. Amen. You've got nothing to, you know, let's start there. Amen. I've never prayed for anybody that said, you know, I was feeling pretty good until you prayed, you know. No. And if somebody feels a little better, I rejoice with them. I said, that's better than a little worse. Amen. If he could move it a little, he could move it a lot. She says, I could see a little better. I could make things out. I feel a little different. We said, praise God. Sunday night, we had a Monday night service at a different place in town. I said, can you come? She said, well, I can't drive. I said, who would take her? Somebody volunteers, I'll pick her up, you know. I said, you're going to have a testimony tomorrow. Next night, my kids always share this testimony. They were young, and it was the first, like, visible miracle that they saw in their life, you know. She walks in normal. She walks in. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Smiling. Her doctor was a believer. Her doctor called her pastor to tell her pastor that it was a miracle. You know, when the doctor's testifying to the miracle, amen, something happened, amen. Canceled the surgery for the nerve damage. Thank God. So we pray for a Sunday night. Monday morning, she had a doctor's appointment. It was perfect. They test her. She goes from 95% nerve damage to 0.001 nerve damage or something like ridiculous, you know, like barely measured. But yeah, that's exactly what Jesus is like. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Of course, I don't even need to say it. You know, I don't even need to say I couldn't do that. You know I couldn't do that. That's the wonderful thing about miracles. Let me tell you something. It's very rare. Those kind of things, it's a lot harder to steal God's glory in that kind of thing than it is in the things that are like closer to normal life. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Like, it would be a lot easier to steal God's glory for preaching, which I don't. Amen. It's his ability. But there's people talk. There's public speakers. Are you hearing me? Right. People give speeches. Churchill gave some good ones. You know, I don't know, whoever, right? But nobody, come on now. Nobody can open blind eyes.
Right.
Nobody can restore stroke damage.
Right.
No one. There's no natural comparison. Amen. Nobody's thinking, well, maybe that guy did that, you know? No, you read about the miracles of Jesus, and there would be a lot of people who were real skeptical, and then a miracle happened, and they'd be like, oh, wait a second, he's God's son, you know? Oh, we had this wrong, you know? Only Jesus does that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to stop. That's like my third stop, you know? I'm going to stop. Hallelujah. I honestly don't usually go long, but I just feel like I just had a lot to share with you guys. Was that all right? Hallelujah.